Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to take on some more difficult type decisions that people have to make. I get emailed all the time of different types of things. And I want to share with you these stories because they're complicated and they're complex. And the decisions people make in life, many are simple, some are simplistic, but some are very complicated. And the problem with life is that life gets in the way of life. And so you have a plan. Everybody has a plan. I think it was Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face. And then you have to reevaluate and make different decisions and so forth. So a lot of these things, you have to be able to put together two or three levels of thinking at the same time to make a good decision. The problem is that if you don't have the information to make that decision, you're not going to make as good of a decision as you could. One of the things I like to keep in mind when I'm speaking with people is that there's okay, better, and best decisions out there. There is really, you know, a very complicated point of saying something's right or wrong, because is it right for you or wrong for you or whatever? But when it comes to trying to accomplish financial freedom, there are okay, better, and best decisions. And I want to try to cover some of these today because they're out there and people have to put up with them. So let's dig into this stuff here as we listen. And remember always, if you just start with the basic concept that we want to go out and buy real estate, investment grade real estate, that's the stuff that makes you money every single month, that isn't easy enough to maintain or is maintained well enough that you don't have problems with it. You're building your passive streams of income more each year as you buy more real estate, as you'll see in one of these emails, and then later have massive capital gains and your net worth grows and you become wealthy. This is just the, you know, from A to Z, what we're doing over some period of time, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or like myself, 35 years. So what we're digging into today is some issues. You know, what about along the way? So the first one here starts out, lady writes me, I believe it was a lady, yes, Sarah. She says, I've been listening to you on the radio for a couple of months now, and I'm going to join Lifestyles as soon as that makes sense financially. Right now, my family and I are in a bit of a pickle, and we're only one, and you're the only one I can think to give me an honest feedback. We currently own our home that we live in and have over $200,000 in equity. We have to move from Washington State to California State because my husband's job. We were thinking we should purchase our new home as a second property, and keep the current one as a rental. We would easily be able to collect over $1,000 a month as income from our current home because of interest rates. The interest rate on it is very low. And I went on and emailed her back just to get some information. That interest rate's only 2.9%, which is very low. Their mortgage payment's only $1,456, and this property will rent for $2,500 to $2,800 a month, is what she said. The problem is we only have $40,000 to put down on a new home, which increases our monthly payment a lot. Hopefully that makes sense. What do you think? Should we sell our home and use it as equity for put towards a new home, or would it be worth for us to keep our current home as an investment property? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. We wanted to join Lifestyles because of our goal is to be able to start purchasing single-family homes and begin our rental real estate. So, Sarah, this is a perfect opportunity for you to start with a rental property. The challenges here, though, and there are a few, the challenges here are that, number one, you've got too much equity in that first home, the home you live in, to really be effective as a rental property. So let's talk about that. You've got what will be $1,000 a month positive cash flow. That's $12,000 a year. but you've got $200,000 worth of equity in this property. So let's just go to the trustee online calculator here and see what it says. It says 12,000. Well, that's a little too much. 12,000 divided by 200,000 makes that only a 6% rate of return. So it's 6% rate of return that is covered by depreciation. So you have probably that tax deferred income, which would make it, you know, really good if it did cover all that. I don't know what the price of the home is. I didn't ask, and I probably should have. But even more so, the benefit of owning this as a rental property, besides the cash flow is not very good. Now, you can improve that cash flow situation by taking a HELOC out. And the problem with that is that the HELOCs now are 8 or 9 or 10% return, or interest, I'm sorry. So that doesn't really sound appealing to me, because you're only earning 6% return on your money as a cash flow situation. Now, if you HELOC that money out of there, then that rate of return would go up, but the cash flow would go down. So in this particular case, I would say that's a wash. If you're looking at this, that's a wash. You got $200,000 or only earning 6%. If she would pull that money out of there and go invest in one of our lifestyles deals, she's going to earn between, on the low end, 6% on a cash flow basis to as high as 20% on a cash flow basis. That's what we're getting on our cash flows. And as much as a 30 to 100% capital gain on her money. So that money is sitting there. It's really dead equity. If you look at it that way, if she were going to join Lifestyles, I would absolutely tell her to sell that house, pull that $200,000 out, and let me take and buy her 10 more houses. Now, think about this for a second. You got to think outside of the box to be able to live like wealthy people live. That $200,000 could buy her 10 houses. And let's say it's 25 grand down instead of 20 grand down. Remember, we use hard money lenders, so we don't have to put 20% down. We're putting down much smaller amounts. So we go buy her, if it's not 10 houses, let's say it's 25 grand, that would get her 8 houses. We'll be conservative and say 8 houses. Now, this weekend, when I just taught the class and I did the case study, we had a guy who bought 3 houses and made $400,000 worth of total captured equity on only 3 houses. We had another guy that bought 7 houses, and he had a total captured equity of over $700,000. So if that's the case, if this lady can buy 8 houses, she's going to be able to build up maybe $800,000 worth of equity. She's already got $200,000. If she captures $800,000, she has $200,000, she's going to be worth $1 million. But what is she worried about? She's not talking to me about, can I take that money and go make $1 million? She doesn't understand the show yet. She doesn't understand real estate investing yet. She doesn't understand her potential yet. She says, I'm thinking about it. I'm listening to the show, but I'm not really getting it, Del, that I could take that $200,000 and go make $1 million. Well, make $800,000 and be worth $1 million, right? That's what I showed you last week when I did the case study and when I did the seminar. That's what you can do. Now, if you look at this further, she's worried about having more money to put down. Put down means nothing. The more you put down on your new personal residence, the one she wants to go buy in California, the more you're going to waste money, because that money's not earning you any money. You say, but if I don't put something down, our payment's going to be larger. Of course your payment's going to be larger. But that doesn't mean then you got $1,000 a month coming from this other deal. Or realistically, let's say she takes the $200,000, sells the house, we buy her 8 new houses, and those 8 houses each have, let's say, $400 a month positive cash flow. She's now got $3,200 a month extra cash flow to cover those payments that she has because she has a higher payment. I also would suggest this. Don't buy another house. Go rent somewhere. Put nothing down. The $40,000 you're going to put down on that house, put it with the $200,000. Now you got $250,000. She's got enough equity. She can go out there and make $1 million, and she doesn't realize it. All right. Next gentleman, he says, I have $100,000 in liquid cash available on my primary residence as a HELOC. I have done all this in Ohio, which is where I live lately, and I have hard time finding the deals that make sense anymore. I thought about upgrading my membership and buying houses in Texas or another state where there you have Lifestyles agents. Or do I upgrade and start investing in apartments? I'm 38 years old. Get this. He's only 38 years old. He's already a millionaire. I have two young kids, ages 6 and 7, which I'm very involved with. That's important. He's stating time demands there. He wants to keep that with his kids. What do you recommend I do next? All right. So here's what I recommend for the gentleman. He's got 100 grand. Like I told you about the lady earlier, about $25,000 a house. He can buy about 4 more houses in Texas, and he can capture somewhere around, let's say, $100,000 captured equity in each house like these other guys did. So that'd make him about $400,000 wealthier. He's already worth $1 million. That makes him worth $1.5 million, close. And he does that without any more work, because if he's going to buy him in Texas, he's going to be using our people to do that. And he won't be doing all the work, right? He's not even going to have to basically manage them that much if he doesn't want to, because he can hire somebody else to manage them, or he can use our techniques, which work. So here he is. He's got this. But my question is then, which is not in here, what is the next step? He's got $1 million worth of net worth, 21 houses. He could go pull that equity out of those houses by selling the ones with the largest amounts of equity in them and buying himself a small apartment complex. With an apartment complex, people, unlike houses, when we buy houses, we have to go capture equity. We have to find it. We have to find somebody who's got a house worth $200,000 that's willing to sell it to us for $100,000. And we do that. That's a regular occurrence. But with an apartment, we buy it, and then we change it. We teach in the two-day 28 ways to increase the sales, the rental income of an apartment complex, and a few, 5 or 6 different ways to control the expenses. What that ends up happening is this. Let's say we have a gross income coming in, rental income of $200,000, and you have expenses of about 50% of that's about $100,000 in operating expenses. You have a net operating income about $100,000. That's what you'd earn if you didn't have debt, but you're going to have debt on it. So you're probably only going to earn $20,000 or $30,000 a year off of that. But if you increase the income on that thing by 10%, go from $300,000 to $330,000, and it was worth $1 million, I'm just 10 times income, just for easy for your brain on the radio. 10 times income now, so now it's worth $1 million. We buy it at $1 million, but we increase the rental income, or we increase any form of income, and there's lots of forms of income, 28 different ways, like I said. We increase it by 10% for now at, instead of $300,000, we're at $330,000 minus the $200,000 expenses. We now have $130,000 NOI. That makes that thing worth $1.3 million. What's interesting about apartments is you could then go back in and refinance that and pull all your equity back out of that property and have nothing in the deal and still be making the $20,000 to $30,000 a year and do it again. Or you could sell the thing and take the $500,000 with equity you have in the property and buy yourself a 100-unit apartment and go up, double up. That's what we could do. All right, we'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Lifestyles Unlimited, the education and mentoring group with the roadmap and support to help you real estate retire.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system, you know, is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off your butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Code 2024. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're looking at emails that have more complicated questions than are just simple. You need to think it through on all edges and all combinations. All right, now we're moving on to the third example here. This one's even more interesting. Well, it's not more interesting than those two. Those are about as interesting as you get. This one, though, is interesting on the other direction. It's a young kid who's trying to hustle. And lo and behold, when you're young, that's all you got is hustle. You don't got any money. You don't have any credit. You got hustle. And so you can't look down on kids for trying to get ahead with the hustle, right? But there's something to be learned in this. And let's go through it. It says, Dell, I would love the opportunity to offer you a constant 10% return paid out on a monthly basis, 200% better than any savings account. Actually, it's not. My savings accounts earn 5.5%, so it's not 200%, it's about 100% better. Account that you have for an investment in me growing my portfolio of single-family properties. Therefore, an investment of $120,000 will pay about $1,000 a month until you return 100% of your original investment at the end of a term we agreed to. Let me know if you're interested, and I'll send you over some legally binding agreement to review back by my three existing homes as collateral, right? So here we go. I don't know what equity he's got in his three homes. It's irrelevant to me because I wrote back to him, sorry, I tell everyone to never lend money. Always be the borrower. I will do a piece on this on the radio next week. So I'm doing the piece now. Here's what it comes down to, guys. Never be the lender. Always be the borrower means this. The borrower is the one that gets rich. The borrower is the one with the leverage. The person who lends the money is the one at risk. In other words, if I lend this kid the money and he loses my money, he didn't lose his money, he lost my money. I'm at risk. But if he actually does what I taught him to do and does it successfully and takes that $120,000 and goes out there and buys, what would that give us, 25, that'd be five houses. If he goes out and buys five houses and makes $500,000 in this because he's doing what we just showed you how to do on the case study this last weekend, what do I get of the 500 grand? I get nothing. I get a 10% return. In addition to that, the 10% return is taxable. It's ordinary income. I have to pay income tax on that money. So it really takes it, since I'm in the 40% tax bracket, that takes it down to only 6% return. This is terrible. I can make 10 times, 100 times that I can make 100% return, just like you can, if I go out and buy real estate the correct way. But I don't lend money. I borrow money. I always want to be the borrower. Now, think about, I ran into this guy the other day at a case study, and he was adamant. Typical old-time real estate investor, really, and I don't know the gentleman, so I'm making this statement in a generic way about these guys. There are people out there that taught that real estate was a way to rip people off. And what they do is they would buy a piece of real estate and they'd sell it to a tenant. The tenant would put down a down payment and they would be told they'd make payments for X period of time, then they're going to own the house. But if the tenant ever missed a payment, then the guy would foreclose on them, take the house back, keep their down payment, and take the house back and fix the house up and do it again. That's what the guy said. Why don't you tell the guy to do that? I told him, don't do that, because number one, you're now the lender. You're getting paid interest. It's taxable. Number two, if the guy's smart that you sold the house to, he'll go out there and find some other place to finance it, take you out of the deal, and get lower interest than what you're charging him. And or if the house goes up in value, they'll just refinance you out or sell the property and make the profit. Anything that went positive on this house would go to the tenant that you sold it to, and all you would ever get is interest. But what this guy is counting on, you understand, is that he's only going to sell to ignorant people. Probably illegal aliens, be my guess. They don't have any legal standing. They don't understand what they're doing. And as soon as that person misses a payment, he's going to come swoop down and take the house back. To me, that's morally unacceptable. It's not legally unacceptable. It's morally unacceptable. And it's the wrong way to do real estate. And so I told the guy that. He got upset at me. And, you know, it's funny. You're trying to run a business, you're trying to get people to sign up for memberships, and I'm throwing them out the door as fast as they're walking in because I don't like immoral practices. I don't like people with no integrity. And when you tell me right up front your business model is based on ripping people off, I can't deal with you. That's all there is to it. So if you're one of those people, don't come join Lifestyles. You know they're not going to be your friend. You know I'm not going to like what you're doing. I'm not going to condone it. So stay out there. There's other real estate programs out there that condone that type of stuff. And you could go be amongst people that would just go, wow, that's a great idea. Let's go rip some people off, right? But in this particular case, you know, what should the young lad have done? Well, he was trying to relate to me telling people when I first started, when I was in 30s, that when I ran out of my own money, I partnered with other people. Partnering is a completely different animal. Partnering says if I go into business with somebody like this young gentleman here, then if he makes profit, I get half or better of the profit. My guy that I partnered with took 75% of the profit. I took 25% of the profit. Why? Well, I thought we'd start 50-50. And he goes, no, we're not going to start 50-50. This guy had money. He's smart, older guy. He goes, look, I'm taking all the risk. I'm putting up all the money. All you're putting up is labor. Your labor is useless without the money. My money is useful even without your labor. So I had to reconcile that in my brain, thinking, as all poor people do, that the labor in life is what's really valuable. And what you find out later in life is that the labor in life is not that valuable. What's really valuable is the money. Now, if you have money and you give it to somebody that doesn't know what they're doing with it, you're going to lose it. Read the book by Clayson, I think it is, called Richest Man in Babylon. He talks about this. You don't give money away to people that are in the business of not caring about your money. Simply, you have to keep very good tabs of your money, right? Happened to me in the 80s when I lost money in the stock market. And then I said, you know, new goal, never let someone else take my money. Rule one, never lose my money. Let's see if we got a short one here. It was written to me, and I'm not going to say whose name it is because I'm not picking on this particular person. I'm picking on the idea. It says, what are your thoughts on buying gold or silver versus currency in the interest-bearing bank account, CDs, etc., to preserve your wealth until you find a real estate deal that suits your investment needs? This is just dumb as a rock, guys. Rule one, never lose money. Gold goes up and down just like the stock market. It is gambling. It doesn't matter that it's, you know, remember, it's just a rock that people are bidding on. It has no relevance. You can't spend it. It doesn't pay any dividends. It doesn't give you any cash flow. It doesn't give you any tax breaks. It doesn't do anything for you. It's just a rock that people are bidding on. Say, well, isn't an inflation hedge? No, not really. Think about this. Let's see. Robert Kiyosaki does an advertisement along with three or four other big name banker guys on TV that says, look, if gold or silver, and I think in this particular ad they're talking about silver, but I've heard the same thing on gold. If silver just gets back to where it was a year ago, you will make 100% return. Now think about that for a second. You got to have a brain to think through this. If it gets back to where it was, that means it's down. By how much? By 100%. You will gain 100% if it gets back to where it was. That means somebody owned it at that where it was, and it went down 100% or went down whatever amount it went down, but it would double. So it went to half. It went down by 50%. But to get back, right, it has to go up 100%. Now think about that for a second. If it was if you had $1 million worth of gold or silver and it went down to 500,000, you've lost half of it. But to get it back, that 500,000 you still has to gain 100% return to get back a 50% loss. This is dumb as a rock stuff, people. It really is. And when you buy gold, you don't really buy anything. You're buying a piece of paper that says you own gold somewhere. Or maybe you're sticking some gold and silver, you know, coins in your safe. This is just insane. You can't spend them. They don't pay you any dividends. They don't do anything for you. So gold is not. Now, compare that to a savings account. FDI insured savings account, you put up to $250,000 per spouse. So you have husband, wife, and if you have kids, you could get them in their name also, get $250,000. Means it's not going to be lost. It's protected. And right now, those savings accounts are over 5%. I have some at 5.25, 5.4. I don't know if I have 5.5, but they're all right there, you know. And I have quite a few of them, quite a bit, because that's where I put my money when it isn't buying real estate. Now, I'm in contract to three different pieces of real estate right now, and they're not particularly apartments. So I've just almost said apartments. But the bottom line is I have three deals going on right now. all real estate. And when I need that money, I'll go to those savings accounts, pull it out, and close those deals. But while it's waiting, it's earning me over 5% return. If you own gold and silver, what is that gold and silver earning you? The answer, nothing. So it is no hedge to inflation because it goes up and down, right? It's not a hedge. It has no cash flow, and it's not insured against failure, against loss. Doesn't make any sense at all. All right, the next one. This one's another one that is just mind-bogglingly simple. Guy says, with all the illegal aliens around, how do you keep your property squatter free? Now, I understand that if you live in California, they've got some really weird laws there, right? Other states don't have those strange laws, but there are squatter laws. But a squatter in Texas has to live there and pay property taxes to own it. They can't just come in and sit there and all of a sudden it's theirs. In other states like California, that may be true. That's why I own no real estate in democratically controlled states. Just would not do it, right? Because the laws are ridiculous. Now, having said that, the real way you keep squatters out is have tenants in your building. Nobody can squat in your unit, your building, your house, your apartment, your whatever, if the units are full. Now, if you're in an apartment complex, nobody can squat because you've got locked doors and you've got a maintenance man and a manager watching the place every day. Somebody break into one of those places, you'd immediately call the police and have them arrested and taken away because they can't break in. That's breaking and entering. It's locked. You can't get in there. It's not the second you throw your blanket on the floor, you own the place. It doesn't work anything like that. But obviously, if you live in a state where people are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and upside down on their laws, where the criminals have more rights than the tax-paying people, I don't know what to call it. I don't have a spiel about politics. I should have a better spiel. But you understand where we invest, that doesn't happen. But more importantly, you have to understand we stay full. My apartment complexes are 98.9% occupied. If somebody tried to get into those apartments, they couldn't do it. Same thing with houses. When I rented houses, those houses rented within 1 or 2 days. So they weren't sitting there vacant. Other people who would try to get too much rent would let things sit there for 30 or 40 days. And yeah, someone might come in and steal your air conditioner. A lot more chance of somebody doing that than actually trying to be a squatter, especially here in Texas or other states that are conservative. But either way, whether it's squatter or stealing your air conditioner, the bottom line is the way you keep it from happening is stay occupied. How do you stay occupied? By getting in here and learning how to do this business the right way. I don't know what it is about this business, but everybody seems to think you can just do it. That's like thinking you're going to go out and be Elon Musk and start a rocket, be a rocket scientist and start building a rocket. It doesn't work that way. You have to know what you're doing. You have to have your capital lined up correctly. You have to have your investments set up correctly. And then it's the most profitable thing that most of us will ever be able to get our hands on. Remember this, my friends, we're not doing this for a little money. This is a complete and total lifestyle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.